You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. We are live. It is Minor Talk, an emergency edition, along with my co-host Sal Montes, also part of the team, Alberto Retta. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're kicking things off here today, and UTEP is out of Conference USA. Oh, guys, you know what? Today is the day we can mark it. Sal, it's October 1st, 2024. No more Conference USA TV. That was gone long time ago. If you know, you know. No more traveling to Lynchburg, Virginia, or Ruston, Louisiana, as a lot of people pointed out to me over the last week, that that's probably the worst trip out there. Murfreesboro, Tennessee. No knock to our great friends out. Bleed Tech Blue, big shout out to them. Shout out to all the Middle Tennessee pods and out there. And all the Conference USA fans who were just bitter today. They were just so mad, Sal. They were so mad. They were, you know, very upset that UTEP is going to the Mountain West. But for UTEP fans, for everybody here in the city of El Paso, for everybody who's endured almost two decades of mediocrity in Conference USA, rejoice. UTEP is out of Conference USA by 2026 and going to the Mountain West.
Hey, you got to play the cards that you're dealt. And UTEP hasn't won a lot of those hands that they were dealt over, what, the last 20 years or so. They were able to win with this one, though. Somehow they got a joker in their deck and were able to win this one. And it's crazy, Adrian. They stood in Conference USA for so long.
I know.
Because of their lack of winning. And they go to the Mountain West, which they should have been in all along, if we're being honest. I'm a big geographical guy. And this couldn't be more perfect, even though it's basically like Mountain West 3.0. But with all that being said, though, this is based off of potential. And as crazy as this sounds, them losing to Southern Utah had no impact on this. It was all of the fans that went. Them losing to North Texas, or was it last year when they sold it out or near capacity? They went because they see that the fans are going to go to these games against UTSA. They dropped the ball, so they were able to get in. And El Paso, in my opinion, is a big part of this. Shout out to you guys, but we got to give credit where it's due. Credit to President Wilson and Jim Center.
You know, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of people. I just say this: there was a lot of naysayers out there that felt like, oh, this isn't happening. They're not being proactive in discussions. The Pac-12, the Mountain West, they're all going to pass UTEP by. UTEP will be stuck in Conference USA forever. And I'll be honest, I felt subject to that, Sal. I felt like at one point, doom and gloom, I felt like there's no chance UTEP's ever getting out of Conference USA, and they're going to watch as maybe eventually Sam Houston State passes them by or whoever. You know, it doesn't have to be that school, but they've already seen other Texas contemporaries like Rice, like North Texas. I mean, UTSA financially committed themselves in athletics, but when you talk about those other schools that feel mediocre and just feel like a little bit, you know, either on your level or below it, and you see those go to the American Athletic, and you feel like UTEP, they're just the ones who are left behind. And you think about the recent realignment, the new addition of Conference USA, I couldn't have been more against it. I can't be more against CUSA as of right now. I'm like the anti-CUSA guy.
You know what's crazy is you mentioned the number of schools that you did, and I want to throw in a couple of others. You did mention UTSA, but I'll bring up Old Dominion as well.
There you go.
The reason why I'm bringing them up is because these two pop out to me a lot, and I don't have the teams in front of me, so there's more out there for sure. But Old Dominion and UTSA joined Conference USA way after UTEP joined Conference USA. And they still left Conference USA before UTEP did. Now, there's different reasons why they did. It makes more geographical sense for for Old Dominion, closer to that Sun Belt area, and they have more rivals in that region. UTSA, you mentioned it best, they're committed to athletics, and they catapulted themselves to the top of the conference, you know, relatively quickly, and they did it from the ground up, too. They had a lot of help financially, but that's a built program. So for UTEP, long story short, UTEP seeing these schools pass by them in the conference, even though they were a member before they were, is kind of upsetting. With all that being said, though, they still are able to join the Mountain West, so that's huge.
Yeah, it's huge for so many reasons. You know, we're not even getting to the men's basketball aspect of this, which is huge in itself. I mean, you're talking about going from a one-bid league, guaranteed, every single season. Conference USA is only going to send one team to the NCAA tournament, and it's the team who wins CUSA in the tournament, not the regular season. None of that. That's nothing that's guaranteed. You have to win the Conference USA tournament in order to go to the NCAA tournament. With schools like Nevada, with schools like UNLV, with schools like New Mexico that have those basketball backing, there's justification to have 2-3 teams out of the new version of the Mountain West going into the NCAA tournament. And for that alone, I mean, for what a basketball rich school this really is here at UTEP, that's big in itself. So we want to talk all about it here. I've got so many thoughts. We got to get Alberto's thoughts. We got to get your thoughts. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Emergency Minor Talk after hours, after UTEP coaches show, and join us here. It's a special edition of the program. We're presented by Jack in the Box, by the way. Open 24/7, 365 here in El Paso. Jack in the Box brings us every edition here of Minor Talk. Alberto, we'll swing it over to you. Your thoughts on this one. Any thoughts that you haven't said already out of, you know, sports talk today and now translating into the emergency after hour edition of Minor Talk?
Well, obviously, excited as everyone else is, you know, for what this means for the institution and the city. It's something that the fans have wanted for a long time, and Jim Center touched on it. Now that the school or the institution has delivered on the promise to get the teams into Mountain West, it's now up to the city to kind of reciprocate that love and show that this is something that the city wanted and that it excites them. So, yeah, I mean, I pulled up, you know, athletic revenues and athletic expenses for the Mountain West just to kind of gauge what they're at and where UTEP would fall into what category, what number would they sit at with athletic revenue and expenses. And, you know, you hope expenses go down as you move into a Conference USA and revenue goes up. But yeah, I mean, this is a new uncharted territory for UTEP, and I'm really curious as to what commitments the Board of Regents have made to UTEP about maybe giving them a little bit more money, having more to play with, more to do with. So because UTEP is going to need that, they're going to need a more money from wherever they can get it to do the things that are necessary to become competitive in a good Mountain West conference.
Yeah, the financial commitment side is so intriguing to me. That side of it, I think it's probably the biggest side of all of this, right? Because, you know, you hear Jim Center, one of the biggest takeaways of his entire, I mean, beyond praising the fact that they did this, beyond the reasons why, which he cited things like, you know, regionality, travel, geographic reasons, fan reasons, things like that, how it could improve the student life in whatever way. He sees that. You know, he gave those reasons out there. But the theme of his press conference, if you really listen to it, was, you know, how is this city, how is the community going to back it financially? And how is that going to impact UTEP? They're going to need that. They're going to need the financial backing of donors. They're going to need to find more donors. At one point, Jim Center was talking about GECU and said how they need 10 GECUs out there. And that's been one of the, I guess, companies, organizations that have donated more money to UTEP than most or others, I should say. But they need 10 of those, and they need those numbers to multiply. So those efforts are going to be interesting to watch. It's a 2-year move, but really it starts now. It starts here in October, and let's see how UTEP can adjust. But financially, I think that's really important. You talked to Joe Golding, Alberto, today, and he talked about the financial side of it as well. I mean, not only is it the institution committing themselves financially to something like this. They're going to need the donors to support something like this. But then moreover, they're going to need the NIL resources to support something like this. So guys, this all means that the dollar signs are going to be raised, Sal, here in the future.
Yeah, and it takes money to make money as well. The upside for joining Mountain West, aside from the competition standpoint, which I think is a step up, especially in basketball, is going to be raising money, and it takes it to make it. You're going to have some far travels as well. I know in Conference USA they were still traveling far, but what I'm getting at though is winning is going to have to come now to help expedite, you know, paying off whatever it is that they owe. And that's just talking about travel, playing these teams. You mentioned NIL. That's a whole other thing. The prices are definitely going to go up every year regardless. So if you want to compete with the big boys, you got to have a lot more resources. So it's more than just paying these exit fees. There's a lot that's going to go on. I don't know the specifics, obviously, but hey, this is a good news the fans wanted. Hey, now it's time to go out there to the game still and help support this school.
Yeah, it's like celebrate today and I guess pay it up tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's I guess the motto right now. 915-505-6009. We're going to get things started here on the program. We got Larry on deck, but first off, it is Ronnie. He's back. He's finally joining us here after a long hiatus. It took UTEP moving to the Mountain West to call into the program, but nonetheless, we are so excited to bring him back on with us. One of our favorites of all time, Ronnie, back on with us. What's up, Ronnie?
Damn, dude, you're going to throw me under the bus like
that? Oh, Ronnie, man. Well, you're Ronnie, back. That's all that matters.
That's all. That's all that matters. Hey, I don't think people realize, like, how big today was for UTEP. Like, let me put this into context. So during the COVID year, Alberto, I actually ran the numbers because, like everybody was at home, had nothing but time. And during that year, with all the original Mountain West members, with where UTEP was, they would have had the third highest budget in the league. And that's with San Diego State, Utah State, and all those guys. So that was during the COVID year. They would have had the third highest budget at that time in the Mountain West had they been in the Mountain West. So I ran all the Mountain West numbers compared to where UTEP's numbers were because they're all public universities. It was two conferences. Now, where they are today, I have no idea to answer you, but you know, financially, they would have been well and far beyond a lot of that league. Here's why today was so big for UTEP, and people don't even, like I said, realize this going back to numbers and politics. So UTEP literally beat out GCU to get into the Mountain West. GCU is obviously Grand Canyon University, the world's largest online university, who's also, you know, happens to be basically ran by Jerry Colangelo, you know what I mean, the old director of basketball operations.
They got money.
But he did everything he could. He did everything he could to get the Mountain West to not only give them a hard look, but to give them a bid. And at the end of the day, they actually passed on them. And I think that's people got to realize, like, how big that is. I mean, you're talking about a school that's literally printing money over there with their online status. But because they don't have football, it really doesn't matter, right? Like, that Mountain West collective that pays you $6 million per year, it's not all football, but it has a lot to do with the football backing, because what people don't realize is the Mountain West is actually offering their games for free on the Mountain West channel.
That's true. Accessibility through the roof. And those are good products, too.
Yeah. Now, going back to your point, Adrian, I don't know if right away the league will be a two-bid league. Here's why. You lost Utah State. You lost San Diego State. So when you talk about having leagues that are two-bid or more leagues, here's what has to happen. Your team's strength of schedule has to be so high, and you lost – you lost four schools that are going to play the big boys, not only playing but beat them. So depending on who they make the eighth member and how they get going, I don't know if right away the Mountain West goes back to being a two big league, because let's face it, no disrespect, but you know, Air Force probably ain't going to be, you know, having a freaking, you know, 25 or 30.
Yeah, but don't forget about Nevada and don't forget about New Mexico. Don't downplay those two. Those two are powers.
I mean, they're good, Adrian, but, you know, I mean, I just don't know, man, because like I said, you're losing two games now that you would have had with San Diego State, and their strength of schedule always being in the top three. Like, I just don't know, right? Like, and as we know, this thing about conferences has become greedy and greedier, you know, and it seems like they start to shut out the big boys when they get in that room, you know, in late March and start making those brackets. So I don't know. Maybe it will be. I hope it will be. I still think this is a huge win for UTEP, but I just don't know if that league automatically is a two-bit leader, not because, like I said, you lost a team that literally played the national championship game 2 years ago. And that's a huge, huge hit to everybody's strength of schedule because you don't have those two games anymore, right? So I don't know. Maybe you do, maybe it's not, but I'm just trying to think realistically and not get people's hopes up here.
How does this help recruiting? You tell me that. How does this help recruiting?
Immensely. I think Joe Golden and Scotty Walden are now getting Power Five bounce backs. They're getting kids that didn't even know who UTEP was 2 and 3 years ago. Now they're like, hey, I got to leave the Pac-12. I got to leave the Big 12. I got to leave the Big 10. And going to UTEP is no longer a knock. It's like, hey, I'm going to play in the Mountain West. So it's really high level ball. If I clean my act up, I can still have a chance of getting, you know, good looks in the pros. I mean, this is a coach's dream. I mean, Golden and Scotty won immensely today because you're talking about a different type of act. Whether you sign the kids or not, you're going to have different kids on recruiting visits that neither program had in the last decade.
At the same time, they're going to have to keep up on resources. And, you know, when those kids come, they'll be here, but you have to make sure that your facilities and all of that are ready to go as well, right?
I mean, the UTEP facilities, I mean, I was just there. I mean, UTEP facilities are premium. They're golden. I mean, you ask yourself, would you rather have the UTEP facilities or the Fresno State facilities? I think we know the answer to that, you know?
Better city, too.
Absolutely. They're definitely in a good place. My thing, once again, is just making sure that you have a marketing plan, right, to go after those kids. You got the right coaches on staff and have the connections that, you know, I mean, let's face it, right? You know, you're talking about going after kids that are like Kawhi Leonard's. I mean, that's what you're talking about when you talk about bounce backs. You're talking about those type of kids that flirted around, maybe were, you know, an academic course or too short, or, you know, played some 15, 20 minutes, but for whatever reason had some issues, and now they got to bounce down a level, and they're still on the West Coast, right? You know, you're talking about a kid that basically was in Dana Altman's top eight rotation, but now has to, you know, find a new home where he can make an impact. And that's no knock to the other kid we got from Oregon, but you know what I mean.
Those are the type of kids
that you're targeting now. And if you're not targeting those kids, you're absolutely crazy. Because why would you not? You have the confidence, you have the cachet, you have to capitalize on that. And I think that Golden and Scotty will do a great job. And I'll tell you something that I was really impressed with, and I know I didn't call in, I paused, I was really late. When Scotty made the adjustment to put in our boy Adrian against the Pac-12 member.
Cade?
Yes, sir. And UTEP was able to cover the original spread. I knew right then not only did we have the right coach, but we had the right QB1. And I knew right then that with all this alignment, I figured UTEP would get a call. I figured they would get a call just from that game alone, being able to handle themselves. And like I said, let's give a huge shout out to Scotty because he made adjustments that our previous coach would never have made until he had no other choice.
Okay. So, good stuff, you know, man. I like it. Hey, we'll talk to you soon, Ronnie. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for weighing in. Even threw in a little sprinkle on UTEP football, so I like it. He's been watching. You could tell. He's silent back in the corner, but he's
lurking
watching
in the shadows. Yeah, he's watching.
What did you think about the quarterback move, Sal? It was announced early last week during the quote-unquote opportunity week. We call it a bye week. UTEP plays Sam Houston. It's at home. It's ESPN2, and it's on Thursday. We'll have it right here, 600 ESPN El Paso, and then we'll have minor talk afterward. But your thoughts on the quarterback flip?
I like it. I know that I didn't really have a problem with Skyler at first on the game against Southern Utah. He had the hat trick, right? And at that game, there was really no point to say, hey, there's a switch. But as time went on, there was a lot of football that went on from the game against Southern Utah to the most recent one. And a lot of it was not praiseworthy, so to speak. And when you look at what Cade was able to do when he went in, managed it a lot better. And UTEP was even able to get back into the game, you know, at some point. It's all about giving your team the best chance to win. And if that's the hot hand, you got to ride it. It's very momentum based, in my opinion. But it's good momentum right now. And we've seen, and this is no knock to Locklear, but we've seen Cade win Division One or FBS games, I should say. Division One, that's disrespectful. But FBS games, he's won at this level multiple times.
Yeah, and he's played six games, right? Like, yeah. Skyler, this was his fourth.
Yeah, and it's the experience as well. Just looking at the experience is huge. You get to see some of the continuity from guys that were on the team last year.
Amari White.
Yeah, but looking at the looking at some of the new connections, this is what they worked on in the offseason as well. And if the quarterback battle was truly as close as it was, I think that switch, maybe it was made at the right time. I know people wanted it earlier, but at the end of the day, the switch was made. So we'll see what happens going forward, but definitely rooting for Cade to succeed, man. That's our guy.
Larry is next on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. If you want to weigh in, UTEP going to the Mountain West, they officially make it, or they make it official earlier today. And that's what we're talking about here on the emergency edition of Minor Talk. Larry, good evening, man. What's going on?
What's up, fellas? You know, no words for today. I think monumental is probably the best word you can say about today's UTEP athletic move. But I just wanted to commend our leadership. You know, the way they moved, really, there was radio silence throughout this whole entire movement. And I was part of the other camp that really wanted them to take the public route and kind of advocate for the non-West, the public. So just, you know, I wonder if this move never happened and, you know, you never heard any rumors leak at all, if the fans would have, you know, trusted Jim Center or Dr. Wilson after this. But, you know, they got it done. I just wanted to touch on New Mexico State. I know a lot of fans, UTEP fans included, you know, would love to see New Mexico State. You know, I saw the press conference from Jim Center. There's no shot they're going to come to the Mountain West. And I think I'm looking at it in the perspective of Gloria Navarez and Mountain West, where why would they want to bring another school that would just dilute the TV market already that UTEP, you know, brings with El Paso, Juarez, and Las Cruces?
I mean, I'll just say this. Like, to that point, I didn't want UTEP and New Mexico State in the same conference, man. I just didn't. I think that there's a lot of people on social media who want this to happen, who want New Mexico State to join the Mountain West. In my opinion, I think you hear and you talk to men's basketball coaches or women's basketball coaches, and you hear how tough schedule making is. You talk about football. I know those schedules are pretty much locked in from now until like 2032. But despite all of that right there, you talk about schedule making. If you know that you're playing a rival every single year in non-conference play for sports like men's and women's basketball, that's perfect for a home and home series. It excites fans early into the season. I feel like it's hard to get those fans really excited with some of these early season matchups, so that UTEP's, let's be honest, they're backed into a corner and they're backed into having these home games because no one wants to come to El Paso and play UTEP like they used to. I mean, it's just not a reality here in 2024. So in my eyes, if you get that pre-built home and home series and non-conference play, if you're able to squeeze it in on the football side so you don't compromise the battle of I-10 and the football history right there, that's to me the reason right there. I'm cool with it. And I feel like the Mountain West can go elsewhere for this final membership. And might be financial, man. It might, honestly, Larry, all of what you're saying right there as far as Gloria Navarez is, it all might boil down to money. And I don't know if New Mexico State, who just made the jump to CUSA, is in a financial position to do that. And maybe if they are, I just don't know that if that's the case.
No. And I think we're keeping a close eye on Texas State. Obviously, I know they said no. And I think Tarleton is an interesting route that I heard. There's a lot of chatter on that as well.
Yeah, to the Tarleton point, it's interesting, right? Because that's a winning basketball program. It's actually a program that's won a lot of games recently. And yeah, everybody's going to look at Billy Gillespie this past year. He wasn't really the coach. They had, you know, the assistant coach who stepped up and pretty much carried the weight for them. They were 25-10 and 16-4 last season. 16-4 in WAC play, by the way. So if they're able to financially commit to doing something like this and making a jump, I read a great article on Dave Campbell's Texas Football talking about how Tarleton State could be prime for this kind of jump. So I think there's a really good opportunity and good upside for a Texas school like that. I'm curious, do they look at it in a regional aspect, Larry, and say, hey, we want a team out of Texas, and if we don't get Texas State, we're going to pursue one of these other FCS schools to make the jump?
Yeah, I agree. I wonder where Sam Houston falls in all this as well. I know they made the jump, you know, similar the timeline that New Mexico State did, but you know, that's another program that is on the rise as well, and I would think that, you know, they'd look at them as well.
But would you want that? I mean, I don't know. Have you seen their football stadium? I mean, I don't know. For them, I think Sam Houston State, like, no knock. I think they're a great football program right now. Look at what they did in men's basketball. They were regular season champs. Like, they put together a great team, and that's after losing their head coach who had built up that program all the way up. So I think Sam Houston is, you know, a little bit ways to go. Can they make the jump by 2026? I don't know. I mean, that's another school I think that falls in that financial conversation, like I just mentioned with New Mexico State.
I'm just going to miss the hilarious Twitter beef from all our San Houston buddies on Twitter.
Yeah, that'd be a good non-conference, speaking of, matchup right there. I mean, keep it going with Sam Houston. What is this Twitter beef, guys? Like,
it's the EA Zay Sports is, rivalry.
Zay is entrenched into this, so we don't have UTEP Zay, who's our Twitter warrior, to help us out understand what's going on with Sam Houston and UTEP Twitter. In fact, I think, you know what, jumping ahead to Thursday, if UTEP ends up beating Sam Houston, I think that Sam Houston Twitter will just go explode, actually, because of all the smack talk that has gone back and forth. So, Larry, he hit it right on the head. Good stuff by him. I can't believe that Twitter stuff.
No, I love it, man. And this is what you want, because we haven't seen this since UTSA was in Conference USA, and bad UTSA, not even good UTSA. You know, once they got good, it was kind of like, all right, well done with you, little brother. Thank you for coming to play with us. But we're going to move over to the American Athletic Conference. So, oh, man, it's fun times, though. This is what you need. You need that type of rivalry, so to speak. And it's kind of a short one. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But we haven't seen the likes to this in so long. And you know what, I was talking to Alberto about this earlier. Let me know what you think, but I kind of want to piggyback what you were talking about with New Mexico State. I think since
let's hear your thoughts.
So I'm gonna miss it a little bit. I definitely am, because you opened up a non-conference opportunity, and also those games mean more. It's more than just a rivalry. It's their standings and rankings in place in terms of your conference that are impacted. And with basketball, it's twice. We know how heated those games are, and you get to get two more non-conference games throughout the year. But I think since New Mexico State joined UTEP, it's been more of kind of like a sibling rivalry. It's kind of like they're brothers, so to speak, and they play each other just because they have to. But it's been a lot more friendly since they joined Conference USA. That's point number one.
Agreed. It's when it's early in the season, it matters more, in my opinion. Or in football's sake, if it's the last game on, you know, the Thanksgiving weekend in rivalry week, it makes more sense.
And it all depends too, like, how are both teams doing? Do both teams need a win to kind of go up a spot in the conference standings? That's another thing as well, and we'll find that out, you know, later on in this year for football. But as far as rivalries go, despite them playing every single year or just about against New Mexico State, I still think hatred is larger for New Mexico than the New Mexico State Aggies for UTEP fans. I don't know how everybody else feels. That's how I feel. What do you all think?
That's interesting. I don't know. I think that might be a little bold there, Sal. I think this fan base hates New Mexico State. Like, when that Battle of I-10 week comes around, I think they absolutely hate them. And I think vice versa. I think, you know, those Aggie fans hate UTEP fans. So, wait, let me just get it clear. You said you don't like, or you're cool with the non-conference. Like, you're cool with them not being in the same conference, right?
I'm kind of like 50-50.
Okay, you see both sides.
I'm going to miss it just because it opens up more opportunities and the games mean more in conference.
Okay.
But also at the same time, I can't remember the last time the Miners were in the same conference as New Mexico State. And I grew up with them pretty much as a non-conference rivalry. It was a heated rivalry. But with all that being said, I still think the ones against New Mexico were more intense.
Okay, before we go back to the phone lines, Alberto, your thoughts on the New Mexico State situation. Where are you at? With your thoughts about them joining the Mountain West, are you for it? Do you want them to stay as conference mates? I mean, Sal alluded to it. All the thoughts that you're talking about with New Mexico State going possibly to the Mountain West and being in the same conference as UTEP, those are all possibilities in the future. I mean, in basketball last year, you never really had that. Football, same thing. I mean, New Mexico State was much better last year in football than UTEP was.
Yeah, yeah, just kind of going off what Sal says, I do think it's like a brotherly rivalry, right? We saw that last year when they had that run to the Conference USA Football Championship, and a lot of Miner fans were saying, hey, I want to root for a Las Cruces. I want to root for them. So that's what, to me, it kind of really is key when remembering. Yeah, we or Miner fans like to root for NMSU when it's convenient to them. So I keep that in mind. But I think that with the whole NMSU not joining or joining the Mountain West, it is difficult. It's out of everyone's hands, right? It's a lot about money and who gets the call. But to me, I think that if you can give that assurance that NMSU will be played in football year in, year out, regardless of whether or not it's in conference, I think Miner fans will walk away happy with that.
I agree.
One. And that way, if it doesn't go to conference, right? So now you'll have UNM conference game and a New Mexico non-conference game, and then you can say, hey, we split the series against New Mexico, or we swept them and we beat both UNM and NMSU. So I think that would be a lot more interesting, right? A conference and a non-conference game for the teams in New Mexico.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like it, man. I think that you brought up some really good points right there. Let's keep it moving. Let's go back to the phones. 915-505-6009. We'll continue to react to more posts coming in on Twitter and X, but let's go to Memo. He's been patiently waiting on the program. Memo, good evening, man. What's happening?
Hey, what's up, boys? First of all, I want to congratulate you guys and thank you guys, because honestly, I think it was a team effort from everybody, from you guys on the radio, from some of the crazier guys on Twitter and X and on social media. I think the Jim Senter said it earlier in the press conference. He was kind of reading some of the social media and what the fans were saying, and I think we all collectively got this across the line. I know I don't want to take, you know, credit for it or anything, but I think finally it looks like the admin is listening to the fans. I think the fans have stuck around this program for long enough, and we've voiced our concerns with Conference USA and wanting to be a little bit more competitive, and I feel like this is the right move. I think, like you guys said, geographically, I think it makes a lot more sense now. Talking to you guys from the football perspective, you know, going to games like UNLV and San Jose and maybe even like Albuquerque up in New Mexico, just being a visitor. I don't know if you guys have experienced the game as a visitor, but it's pretty fun, you know, like the fans still, you know, talk a lot of smack and everything like that. But I think it's going to be fun. I think there's a lot of work to be done this year and next year, getting ready for that 2026. But I think overall, this is probably the best move and probably one of the better days in UTEP athletics in a very long time.
Yeah, I agree with that one right there, because, you know, you just root for the fact that you're out of CUSA. I mean, that's where I'm at, right? Because, exactly. you know, you just got to get out of that league. You just got to hope that you're out of CUSA. And I saw some backing of it this past week, Memo. Before I get to your comments about how we should pat ourselves on the back, you know, Pat Mineto on the back, like Pat Joe John Sr., Pat Jacob Cooksey, those guys do, you know, the Twitter gods work out there. I mean, they are nonstop. So shout out to those guys as far as being flooding for comments and stuff like that.
They don't work a 24-hour job. They work a 365 job. <They're>, so shout out to
exactly.
them.
Those guys crush it.
And I think it's good, man. I think it's getting the fans engaged. I know there's a lot of us diehards that, you know, we'll be here whether it's 0-12 or 12-0, but I think there's a lot of people here in the city that have always just felt that UTEP is just a bad school. They go to the first game and they forget about it. I think hopefully this gives a little bit more fire into the fans. And like you guys said, you know, we got to show up. We got to go fill up that Sumble. It starts this Thursday, you know, and I know we got a Wednesday game coming up, but, you know, we just got to show up. We got to show up. We got to buy tickets. We got to buy the gear. And, you know, we got to financially support this team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, some of these players, they need some NIL, bro. So, Memo, get ready to help out on those collectives out there, man. Start saving up. Don't join us. You know, now actually, we need you out at the District West this week before the game. 32-33 North Mesa. Shameless plug, but save some of the dollars on the weekends, my man, and donate those to the Gold Mine Collective or the Miner Collective, if you choose to do so. 915-505-6009. I'll throw this at you guys as well. I was looking this up. Mountain West Bowl affiliation. By the way, I appreciate the phone call, Memo. Thanks for weighing in on the program, man. These are all the bowl games that UTEP is tied into, okay? The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. They take on the MAC. The Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl versus the Pac-12, or in this case, whatever the Pac-8 looks like. The New Mexico Bowl, taking on the Conference USA opponent. How about the Barstool Arizona Bowl? They take on the MAC. Then the Hawaii Bowl against the American Athletic. They also have a possible affiliation to the following, if needed. These are always the Group of Five at large, or if needed, okay? Guaranteed Rate Bowl versus the Big Ten or the Big 12. The Duluth Trading Company Cure Bowl versus the Group of Five. That's actually the power, the top of the Group of Five right there. And then the Frisco Bowl, the RoofClaim.com Boca Raton Bowl, and then the Surf Pro First Responder Bowl. So there you go, Sal. A lot of options for UTEP as far as future bowl tie-ins for the Mountain West.
Yeah, it's a lot right there.
There's more bowl games than teams.
Seriously. And hey, this is an extra push for six wins at the very least. It kind of ensures it. We've seen some six-win teams not make bowl games based on, you know, whatever conference they're in. So that's looking far ahead. I mean, hey, you got to win one first before you can get to six, obviously. But, yeah, a lot more reason to give it that extra push. Why not?
You know, I just feel like some of those right there that I just reeled off, like the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl, sign me up for that one.
Where's that one at? SoFi?
Yeah, that is at SoFi.
Ooh, nice.
All yeah, right. I'm in on that one. Sign me up for against a Pac-12 or a Pac-8 school. I'm in for that. I mean, hey, UTEP fans will be happy with the New Mexico Bowl. People will laugh, but it's true. I mean, if they win six or seven games in any season, that's a huge – or that is the accomplishment. That is the goal for UTEP football. I mean, they're a historically bad program that's hoping to get back to winning ways or get to winning ways.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about bowls right now, but also, too, the Mountain West tournament, that's in Vegas
yeah.
as well. So that's another attraction, and if I'm not mistaken, I think they're with the league until at least 2032. That's a long way from now. However, they'll be joining the league in 2026, so assuming that the tournament is still played over there, and the conference championship, I mean, I'm looking far, far ahead, but that's at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
Man, so, that's cool.
So those are big attractions. These are big things for teams in the Mountain West, and we're overlooking so much more. I mean, would you rather be in Vegas as a fan, or would you rather be in, where is it at, Huntsville,
Alabama? Just talk about accessibility, Sal. Just accessibility. I'm having to take two or three plane rides in order to get to Huntsville, Alabama, too. Okay, not three. But, you know, as far as, you know, a place like Las Vegas, I'm flying direct. I'm flying accessibly from El Paso to Las Vegas. I could road trip it if I really wanted to and be adventurous, you know? So accessibility for where you're at. Let's also talk about the headquarters. Those are Colorado Springs. So accessibility, nice. It makes geographic sense. It's in the Mountain Standard Time. You're not having to play Eastern time zone games, Alberto. That's a big part of it. UTEP struggles. Imagine just being a student athlete. Like, take away the wins and losses. Just being a student athlete, hopping on a plane, you know, going off to the Eastern time zone, having to adjust to that, and then coming back and having to adjust to the time.
Yeah, it's hard, and the saddest part is a lot of people's minds go to football, and football is, I hate to say it, kind of the least of it, because they get the best experiences when they travel. Think about the smaller teams. Think about soccer teams, softball True. Teams that need to get on a plane and go to Virginia. That's insane. That's an insane thing to say.
And travel then, costs.
Yeah, the cost, and you know the effect of on the players is they're having these long travel days. They get back at 2, sometimes 3, 4 in the morning, and then sometimes they'll have class the next day. And
True.
They're a student before anything else, right? So that's what I'm excited to be for that to be eliminated, is these long, extremely long travel dates that are, I hate to say it, it's like a little unnecessary when you start thinking like, what yes. do we have to do, or what is in common with us in Virginia or Delaware or Kansas State? And that's what is exciting to fans, is wow, we're going back to where we belong, right?
And to that point as well, Alberto, the recruiting, and we'll True. Stick with the Olympic sports. It's huge. They already get a good number of players from California, Nevada, Arizona, state of Washington, wherever, basically west of El Paso, Texas. Now, another pitch is like, hey, you can play in front of your family when we play XYZ team here in Nevada, when we play so-and-so in San Jose State. So that'll be really cool for the recruiting pitch as well for the minors across the board, not just football and basketball.
Yeah, I like it, Sal. As we continue now in 5505-6009, we'll get to David here in just a second. He's calling in on the program. We'll also get to a couple other phone calls as well. Joe Chacone checking in. We were waiting for him. We heard Ronnie earlier. Now we're hearing from Joe Chacone, our pal. Congrats on the move to the Mountain West. Now UTEP Athletics is moving. I'm proud to announce that the Joe Chacone family will be repping from El Chuco again. Started today, we will be there to root on in person as of next week.
All right.
Get ready for me live and in color. Hashtag sun is setting in Colorado. Hashtag great time for a change. Hashtag minor talk. Hashtag Alberchuco. How about that one, Alberto?
Ooh,
he like threw that out a nickname for you.
Finally, I got a nickname. That's a great one. I like that a lot.
It's kind of the best one.
Yeah, actually, it's really, really good. I'm jealous of that one. There was also Vamos Pinky as one of his hashtags. So he's over here calling out some of our other guys. So good stuff, Joe Chacone. Looking forward to seeing you finally in person after all these tweets and X posts later. So good stuff, man. As we continue, 915-505-6009. I touched on this briefly, but just to say it again, historically bad football program, that's UTEP. And that was going on all over Twitter and X today, right? Like a lot of people from other schools, programs, whatever, fans of other programs, they were pointing out how bad UTEP has been in football. They were pointing out UTEP's record over the last 20 years. They were pointing out all the obvious. And this is stuff that no one on this show shine away from. Like, right, you know, we've been very upfront about how we know that this program is not where any of the winning side is. Here you go, Sal. I got a couple stats for you. The Miners have two winning seasons in the last 18 years. Both of those are 7-win seasons, okay? In the last 12 years, UTEP is 41-101, okay? Those are the two stats that just jump off the page for me right there.
Oof. Oh my gosh. And how many of those were in Eastern time zones?
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it has nothing to do with it. Let's be real. The other teams were just better. But it's been dark days for the Miners. And if we're being honest, too, I know people are excited about UTEP joining the Mountain West because it's some of the old WAC rivals. UTEP wasn't that great in the WAC either. We just got to be real.
Good point.
When it comes to football, at least. Basketball, we know what they were. But this is a reset for the Miners program. And I don't know how the school does it to get fans back on the bandwagon at various points, but they keep on doing it, man. So now, as long as winning happens, then we can see the momentum, continue for the Miners, and they can be what they've always thought that they would be, because there's flashes here and there. Unfortunately, it's kind of years apart sometimes, but it's huge for the Miners to pull the fans back in after a 0-4 start this year where, well, let's be honest, people were already off, and they're kind of jumping back on right now.
Yeah, the other stat that was staggering for me was what UTEP Zay pointed out yesterday. UTEP's last home win against an FBS opponent was 681 days ago on November 19th, 2022. The Miners beat FIU 40-6 in front of 10,758 fans. We were together as far as our relationship on this radio station UTEP had a day counter, right? Like, it's been X number of days since UTEP has won a football game.
Yeah.
And now we're back. Now the day counter is back. Do you remember all of that? Like, that was the 2018 season, and UTEP was on a crazy losing streak. It was 19 games in a row before they snapped it.
And it was like the more they lost, the more people tuned in, because it was the countdown to drink off, so to speak, because of that beer promotion. That's how bad it got. Free beer if UTEP wins, where it was a streak over, you mentioned 19 games.
20 games. I was wrong.
And matter of fact, they were up against Rice, and they almost lost that
game.
Rice almost came back and won. But I vividly remember those days. And as crazy as it sounds, I mean, it was rough the first 14, 15 games. But once it hit 16, it's like, all right, let's see how far this goes.
Yeah, right?
I hate to say it like that, but
707 days of a winless football program for UTEP that year of 2017 over to 2018. Man, that's tough stuff right there. But now, maybe they've turned the page. Maybe it's over for all that kind of stuff. Let's go to David. He's joining us next on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. David, good evening. What's happening?
Hi. First off, I just want to say thank you guys so much for having me. Yeah, you guys are talking a lot about how it's very, very crucial, like, because, again, we are, you know, sort of known as, like, I hate to use this word, but we are sort of the perennial losers of college football. That's just what we are. We embrace that. But it just makes me very, very excited, but also incredibly nervous for Thursday, because this game has the potential to change not only the course of this season, it has the potential to change a lot coming into, you know, the future of UTEP football with this move to the Mountain West. And it makes me so incredibly excited, but also just, God, I'm nervous.
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, I like you throwing some dramatic flair to this, but if they lose, are they suddenly like the doormat of, you know, Conference USA? Not like they're already at the bottom. Definitely. They're already, I mean, like, this is a good Sam Houston team who's probably top three in the conference. So losing to Sam Houston, I mean, they're already 0-4. You know, they're a team right now that, in my opinion, as far as their roster and what we're seeing right now, I don't know if it's there here in year one. This is definitely that transition year. I see your point, though, on the other side to it. If they win this game, what does that mean, right? Like, UTEP is ready to make that jump. UTEP is maybe ready to turn their season around and use all this, like, momentum, all this good vibe to maybe try to throw out a late season turnaround, or I should say early season turnaround after starting winless 0-4.
Yeah, for sure. I think this is going to be, I mean, we're used to, I guess, what's the word? We're used to the Twitter battles where it's like, everybody tells us how trash we are. We're like, yeah, we know. This is for the first time since FIU last year, when everybody saw us celebrate next to that Lamborghini, get into the news for what's the word? A good reason. You know, I was there. You guys mentioned the last home win against an FBS opponent was against FIU. I was there, like, at that game. I unfortunately no longer live in El Paso, but no, it's crazy, because last season the only win that I saw in the Sun Bowl was against Incarnate Word, and it's a little bit unfortunate, but this conference realignment has got me so insanely excited. Just it's been a long time coming, as you guys have said. You know, I could belabor every point that you guys have mentioned that has been said all day today. But no, it's just, I feel like we are at one of the most important times in recent memory for UTEP football. And the question is, well, not just UTEP football, but UTEP athletics in general. The question is, what are we going to do with this momentum?
Yeah.
And do we trust our coaching staff, our athletic department, to turn this momentum into, you know, that foundation for what could be something incredible? You know, our volleyball team has been, like, awesome over the last few years. Right now, I believe it's, what, 12-2, 13-2 right now.
Killing it.
Soccer has had some awesome moments as well. This is such a huge, huge time, and football is the one that gets all the spotlight, but I had a question that I was going to pose, but I completely lost it. Forgive me for that.
No, no worries, man. Hey, you did a great job. I appreciate it, David. Give us your final thoughts on this one. This is UTEP moving to the Mountain West. You're obviously really excited. You're nervous. You're cautiously optimistic. We got a couple callers behind you, so wrap us up, man. Where are we at?
I'm excited, and I would love to bring NMSU with us, or Texas State. But, yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I really
good job.
Appreciate
it. Hey, good stuff, man. I appreciate you. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. You can call in anytime, David. Good stuff, man. Let's keep it moving with more callers coming in on the program. Oh, this is our pal on Twitter, Pick My Axe, who's joining us next on the program. 915-505-6009. Our emergency minor talk continues here after hours. Pick My Axe, what's going on?
Good evening. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. How are you, man?
Excited, relieved, just ecstatic that this move finally happened. I was out in the middle of a wetland when I found out the news, dealing with heat and humidity. Just excited that UTEP is finally moving to a conference that fits it, you know, more regionally.
You know, the CUSA never made sense to me, Pick My Axe. Never. Never. It would just, for me, when I was, when I remembered the initial join, when UTEP jumped in 2005, I just remember vividly going to the breakfast table and seeing on the table, my dad had out the new conference affiliates, trying to learn all the logos and stuff like that, and thinking, wow, UCF, UNL, you know, UCF coming in, UAB is there. I like the dragon. I like that logo right there. You look at other schools like SMU, Houston. Wow, that's the Texas ties. It obviously makes sense right there. And you got East Carolina. This looks awesome.
Memphis,
you know,
yeah.
You got Memphis. You got all these really cool Tulane. These teams that make it feel like, oh, you're going to New Orleans. You're going to Houston. You know, you're going now. UTEP's hopping on a plane, going over to Lynchburg, Virginia, to take on Liberty, and that's the bell cow of Conference USA. And you know, UTEP's going off to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and they're going off to Ruston, Louisiana. Forget those cities. Forget whatever I'm saying right there. The bottom line is, it just doesn't make sense. Like from what it started to what it is now, this conference just does not make sense to me, Pick My Axe. It just really doesn't.
Yes, sir. I agree. Conference USA was great for UTEP up until the point when, and you can argue when UTSA and UNT left, but for me, I started losing interest in the conference when Memphis, Houston, UCF, all the big dogs left. That's when I started losing interest in the conference, and then we were developing a rivalry with UNT and UTSA, and then they split.
Yeah.
And like I said, now we're stuck with teams from Jacksonville, Alabama, and Lynchburg, Virginia, and Delaware. There's no regional connection to any of these schools, and it's no slight against any of them. But,
right.
I mean, it's just not a good fit for UTEP.
No, and this is the right one right here, man. And so, hey, I appreciate the phone call, Pick My Axe. Thanks for weighing in on the program here with us. You bring up some really good points. I'm happy that you weighed in on your thoughts. And yeah, let's see what it's like now. Sigh of relief. Well, that's how a lot of minor fans feel. Let's keep it moving. Hector is back. He is joining us next on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. Winding things up here on the program, and we appreciate everybody tuning in, our emergency minor talk after our show. Hector, good evening. What's happening?
Hey, B. How are you, buddy? It's Hector in San Antonio from the 50/50 Podcast.
Oh, my man, Hector Cano, 50/50 Podcast shout-out. One of my favorite hoodies to wear.
Awesome. Hey, what a great day for all of UTEP and obviously the athletic department, and kind of way overdue, obviously. And so don't want to ruin the parade whatsoever, obviously. But kind of one of the things that I wanted to mention is I'm kind of looking at this in kind of a three-phase format, right? Is the momentum that needs to be built up across the not just football, right, but the entire athletic department, the support from fans throughout, you know, not only El Paso, obviously, all UTEP fans, but this initial phase one, right, the momentum that needs to be built up between now and July 1st, 2026. And then phase two is what UTEP actually does, performance on and off the field, recruiting, NILs, collectives, everything, facilities, between 2026 and, of course, that real big realignment we're going to see in 2030, right, is having learned from history, if we've learned anything, is what you do to prepare yourself and posture yourself for the future for come 2030 so we don't get left behind again.
I mean, that's also a good point, right? Because the biggest risk that UTEP's taking right here is stability, right? I mean, at least in CUSA, they had stability. They had a conference where you're getting schools who are coming in, like a Delaware, like a Missouri State, albeit it feels like a FCS to FBS transfer conference instead of being, you know, among these other conferences like the Sun Belt, like the American Athletic. But to your point, you know, where is UTEP's position? Where are they going to be positioned? Positioning themselves come 2030, come 2035, you know, that kind of thing. When these TV deals are up and things feel a little uncertain, I feel like anybody who's claiming certainty, oh, UTEP's going to be in this conference for 10 years, 15 years, you know, this conference is going to stay alive for 15 years or anything like that. I think that's unrealistic to say now. College athletics has changed so, so much, Hector. So I don't know what the future lies for UTEP, but they can't do the same thing. They can't follow the same model where they just don't win in the big sports of like football and men's basketball when it comes to money. I say big when it comes to money, but you have to have success in those sports right there in order to warrant more things. Like, you can't take the fan base for granted, and that's, you know, from right. bottom line is they haven't won enough to warrant all the fans that they've had over the last decade.
Correct. And those are my thoughts exactly, and kind of lessons learned from the past, right? This does not become a repeat come 2030, a repeat of what was that, to 1998 1999?
Right, yeah, that's exactly right.
Right, so congratulations, obviously a big win for, you know, President Heather Wilson, Jim Center, all of the entire school, right? Not just the athletic department, but now, and then of course even the people of El Paso. But what is the next, you know, what is the next step, right? The key is not, the pressure is now ratcheted up in terms of what you start doing now, because you need to enter come July 1st, 2026 with momentum.
Yep. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. Yeah. Hector, it's great to talk to you, my friend. Shout out to 50/50 Podcast. I hope everything is all well with you, man.
Likewise, buddy. Great to hear from you. Keep doing great work.
Appreciate it, man. You as well. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Shout out to Duke Keith, who checked in on Twitter and X, an already lively discussion on sports talk continuing on Minor Talk. Appreciate you, man. Also, Taylor at Callaway 007. It's about damn time. Hashtag Minor Talk from earlier. Tim Meadows, the father of Trace Meadows, who is a loyal follower on the program. He chimes in with a couple popular tweets. First off, today was a great reset for UTEP athletics. Fan base has a new reason for excitement. Program has new direction. Today is the first day building toward a new era. Credit to Heather Wilson and Jim Center for leading UTEP athletics during this time and for positioning the school to capitalize on the opportunity to join the Mountain West Conference. A lot of folks had no faith, but the brass delivered when it counted. Hashtag Minor Talk. Andrew checking in at Andrew 3 West Texas. Adrian Alberto speaking facts on Minor Talk. Appreciate you, man, for chiming in on the program. Shout out to Leo, who gave us a shout out on his site. He said Minor Talk is live right now. Mountain West Conference. Appreciate that. Sal, I appreciate you for initiating this. This was your idea today on the program, and it seemed like a lot of people are either tuning in right now and excited about UTEP to the Mountain West, or they're going to be tuning in after the fact here on our podcast channel, which I appreciate you, man. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, definitely. And I wanted to have this done more so to get calls in, to read people's tweets and get their thoughts, because at the end of the day, that's who we put this program on for. It's for everybody who tunes in. So shout out to you guys. You guys made this happen, and it was cool because
that's right.
I talked to I'm trying to remember his name earlier. Memo, he called in and he's like, yeah, this is Memo. I'm like, hey man, you helped put the nail in the coffin of basically this podcast or the show, like, you know, solidified going up. So shout out to him. But yeah, man, this is what it's all about. And our emergency episodes, I think we have maybe like three of them.
I think we now have more than a handful of them. Right? We've done this for more than a handful of years.
We've done it for a while.
I know.
So man, this is definitely fun. And just
have we done a handful of emergency podcast this year? I think we're close to it.
We're up there, man.
We did one for UTEP going, it was something for, oh, firing Dana Dimel. We did one for that. We did UTEP, obviously.
Golding,
Hire. Golding, yep, we did that one, the Golding hire. We did one definitely for UTEP going to the Conference USA tournament. We did one before the season started for football just to get fan reactions on football season. And now we're here on the Mountain West. So
it's crazy.
That's like 2 years right there worth. But yeah, we got to reflect back on the whole 5 years of Minor Talk.
I just want to say this is all Conference USA Minor Talk. Imagine what West Minor Talk is.
We might need to extend
like
the budget. Hey, you know how UTEP expanding the budget? We might need to expand the budget.
You know what I just thought of too, Adrian? I always make the joke about the Diamond Head Classic.
Yes.
Now there's no Diamond Head Classic. They're going to be in Hawaii.
Now they're going to be in Hawaii, Sal. The trip
for
to
football,
hell.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Robert Urquidi, big shout out to him. He's been a loyal listener with us since pretty much day one. UTEP is home. If basketball improves, they'll benefit the most. Can't wait for the Vegas tourney trip. Yeah, I think that's awesome, Robert. I agree. This is Manny David at Garcia_25. One of the naysayers checking in. I'm thrilled UTEP is heading to the Mountain West. Definitely going to be renewing my season tickets every year now. # Minor Talk. So there you go. We got some good responses. Alberto, wind us up. Give us some final thoughts here tonight. UTEP headed to the Mountain West. You know, fans are just elated off this one.
Yeah, Brass has done their job. They got UTEP into the Mountain West. It's 2026. It'll come to fruition. And now it's time for the Minor fans to put your money where your mouth is.
There you go.
Because without your support and your active involvement in both the program and everything around it and, you know, facilities as well, is this could go south for UTEP. And in 2032, when it's time to renegotiate, you don't want to have that conversation. Well, you didn't meet your part or you didn't do this. So, yeah, it's time for the fans to kind of get re-energized and get back out there. But man, it's just 2026 is so far away, it feels like.
Sal, sum it up for us. How will you remember Conference USA and UTEP?
I'm going to remember that it was a really, really fun party in the beginning, and the party just got worse near the end, and you're one of the last people to leave. That's the way that I'm going to remember it. And you got nobody's phone number at that party either. That's how I'm going to remember this one.
Shout out to the CUSA Podcast Roundtable. They're not going to like this one at all. Shout out to all the Conference USA friends that we've made over the years. And, you know, those who are gone, like the Roost, who's with Rice, and, you know, the Blazer Pod, who's with UAB. I mean, those guys are great guys. But, man, it's going to be a new era. Jeremy Moss, I texted him today, Mountain West Wire, and I was like, hey, man, what's going on? And he was like, wait a second, BYU's out of the Mountain West. I'm no longer covering Mountain West anymore. So it's like all these different people change. So, Sal, we're going to have to make new media friends. That's the other side to this.
It'll be fun.
We're ready for it.
All right. So with all that being said, which school are you most excited for to cover a game against?
Oh, it's no question. It's New Mexico.
New Mexico?
Yeah. I mean, Hawaii is cool, right? I mean, if we get a trip out there, that would be amazing, right? Once in a lifetime opportunity. But New Mexico, because of the history, because of the tradition.
There's one that I'm thinking about just for randomness, and it's total opposite ends of the geographical spectrum.
Okay, Wyoming?
Yes.
I've heard Laramie is amazing.
I am so down for a Conference USA home opener in El Paso against Wyoming, and then the next year, or vice versa, however you want to put it. Long story short, opener needs to be in El Paso when it's really hot, and that senior night needs to be in Laramie between
there
the
we
tech
go
and Wyoming.
I love it. Bring all it on. I'm all in for that one, Sal. That's good stuff. Hey, if you miss anything, Minor Talk on Demand, we're presented by Jack in the Box. Shout out to the District West. We'll be there 3233 North Mesa on Thursday for Sports Talk, heading into the UTEP football game against Sam Houston. For Sal Montes, Alberto Retta, I'm Adrian Broaddus. Special thanks to Jack in the Box, the Oscar ID at the agency, New Start Homes, Wind Supply El Paso, and of course the District here on Minor Talk. We'll be back in action Thursday before and after the game here on 600 ESPN El Paso.